Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Haskatyale Zadayane Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Mostute Dapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vanavaneshwari Nishamanu Sati Vanavami Hari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaurava Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Nitai Gaurachan. So, we again join Srila Rupa Goswami. He is singing what is called in poesy his swan song. Just like the song of an aging swan is most beautiful before it leaves its body. The last composition of a great Vaishnava Acharya is most beautiful, and just like that last song of the swan before he departs is called the swan song, in much the same way the last composition of the Acharya is considered to be also his swan song, the song which he sings in parting. Verse 6. Nichitam gana chanchala tatya Nichitam gana chanchala tatya Anukulena tukula rochisha Mrigana virucha sanabina Mahitam mohana patava sasa. O Shri Krishna, you appear so incredibly beautiful in your pitambara, brilliant as a flash of lightning. O Shri Radha, you are decorated with a charming dark silky garment that shines like musk. Verse 7. O Shri Krishna, your splendid body emanates a radiant sweetness that surpasses the elegance even of Lakshmipati, Sri Narayan. O Radhika, your loveliness astounds the beautiful maidens of Braj, in whose wake even Sri Lakshmi pales. Verse 8. O Shri Krishna, you are a solid mountain of jewel-like traits, which are inaccessible to others. Krishna's traits, which no one, not even Narayan, can access or understand even, is his beautiful flute playing, his extraordinary leelas, that he's surrounded by loving devotees, and the beauty of his form. O Shri Radhika, you are a treasured trove that's like a treasure chest of virtues that stands at the heart of all noble maidens, especially amongst Radhika's qualities, which are overwhelming, is Radha's affection. And here, as we are on Radhakund, we put our hope into this affection of Radha, her great affection for her devotees. You know, when there is a host, the host always feels that it is my duty to care for my guest, especially if the guest is Atithi Narayan. That is, he's not announced, he just came. He didn't announce himself with a bell or anything, he just came into the house. At that time, it is your duty as the host to serve the guest. If you don't serve the guest, then he will give you all his bad karma and take all your good qualities and your good karma, so that everything auspicious which you had in your life is taken away by that guest, and everything bad which the guest had is now on your table. That's in your house. That's what the scriptures say. So the normal life hospitality shown to unannounced guests is a very, very great duty. And we also feel like this. We came unannounced without qualifications, if we compare ourselves to Narada Muni, who cannot come here. Narada Muni has so many qualities, but still, because of his, let us say, particular brand of devotion, where he worships more the Narayan form of Krishna, because of that he cannot enter the sweetness of Braj, and therefore he usually is not coming to Radhakund. But you are here. Do you think you are more qualified than Narada Muni? I think no one of us would even dare to think like this. Maybe Ananda Chaitanya is more qualified. So still we are here, and our only chance is the affection of Radharani, who can accept us, because why? Because we are unannounced guests. Well, Raghunath Das Goswami feels in one of his prayers, I'm not totally unannounced. Shochinandan has brought me here. Sachinandanan Gaurahari has brought me here. On his recommendation, even the most fallen souls are coming in the age of Kali. So I have someone behind me who recommends me. So this affection of Radharani is all we can build our case on. It. There's not much. Her friendliness and so on. These surprise ladies who also have some of these qualities. I mean, famous personalities. Then Rupa Goswami continues to pray. O Shri Krishna, among all the matchlessly handsome youths of Braj, you are the crown emerald. O Shri Radha, of all the young maidens of Gokula, the place most worshipped in the whole world, you are the crowning jasmine flower ornaments. Oh, Sri Radhika, you are that special jasmine flower locket ornamenting the garland. What this is, I mean, here is something which maybe our Sri Radhika remembers, who comes from South India. The women have sometimes something around this jasmine here in the hair. I have seen on my journey in South India. So that's the highest part of the head where this jasmine ornament is. So Radhika is the highest of all the ladies. Now I've jumped over this verses because this is now how the divine personalities look outside. Now Rupa Goswami goes on to describe what is in their hearts, the feelings which they have for each other. Are you interested in this? Svanta Sindhu Makari Krita Radham Rinesha Karakurangita Krishnam Prayasi Parimo Lonmada Chittam Preshta Sorava Ritendiya Vargam. O Shri Krishna, you keep Shri Radhika like a Makari, that is the dolphin like carrier of Cupid, in the ocean of your heart. So Krishna's heart is here compared with an ocean, and within that ocean there's one dolphin-like fish, the fish of the god of love. And it never leaves the ocean. So in the same way, Sri Radhika is really always in his heart Krishna describes this a little later in a song. Day and night. Now one time Shubha Saka comes and gives him a golden garland of these champaka flowers, you know, little like golden. And when Krishna receives this garland, he almost faints because it reminds him on the personality who's playing in his heart day and night, this yellow color. And then a little later Krishna hears the name Vrishabhanu Nandini Rate. And although there are numerous wonderful qualified girls, gopis, gopi girls, that name Vrishabhanu Nandini is totally captivating the Lord's mind. And then he tries to sit down to pronounce Radha's name, but he only manages to chant the first syllable, Ra. And then he throws himself on the ground and rolls. So one gopi has seen this, rolls in the dust, and comes to Radharani and says, Radharani, Krishna is always thinking of you, and that's why you have to now come. He's so much in distress. So in this way, day and night, Krishna is with Radharani. It says in the scriptures, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, day and night Krishna place with Radha in the different bushes of Vrindavan. Now you might ask, how is that possible? I've heard he does cow herding. I've heard he is with his parents, Nanda and Yashoda, and he plays with his friends. How can we say that day and night Krishna plays with Radharani? Do you know the answer? It is in meditation. Radha is always in the ocean of his heart, and there Krishna is always with her. Sometimes he sits on a stone, and Shubha comes and says, "But why are you sitting like this, like a hermit? It's time to play." Krishna just cries, and then Shubha says, "Are you thinking of someone?" "No," says Krishna. So all the time Radha is in his heart in the meditation, Krishna sees him. Now it continues, "O Sri Radha, you keep Krishna transfixed like a deer in the glowing moon of your heart." When you look at the moon, the full moon, you can see this deer. Especially you can see the long ears. Therefore the moon is called Shashanka. There's a deer inside. Radha keeps Krishna always in the glowing moon of her heart, like the deer. It means it just can't come out. You can't go with your cleaning equipment, Rangini, and clean the moon from that deer, from these spots. It always stays there. It can never be moved away. And this is a little bit Radha's situation. Sometimes Radha would like to think of someone else than Krishna. She expresses this in the song of the bumblebee, that why do I always think of him? He is so disqualified. He has killed as Rama the Bali from the back, and in the same way he's about to kill us by just leaving us behind. So she would like to get Krishna out of her heart. She sometimes gives away all her black cloth because they remind her of Krishna. When in the play of inconceivable love, Radha takes the man position, she even whitewashes all the black tamal trees because they remind her of Krishna. So she wants to keep Krishna out of her mind. But it is said here, you keep Krishna transfixed like a deer in the glowing moon of your heart. And the deer can never jump away from the moon. It's not possible. So Krishna can never, Radha can never leave Krishna, or Krishna will never, Radha can never throw Krishna out of her heart. And this is really the topmost love, when you just are not able to get the beloved out of the heart, although you wish. It means it's something very, very serious. O Sri Krishna, your beloved fragrance, your beloved's, that means Radha's fragrance, maddens you. O Sri Radhika, your darling's aroma excites your senses. In other words, here in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami goes on to describe how absolutely the mood of the divine couple are there. They're inseparable. Therefore, if you want to please Krishna, you have to go over Srimati Radharani. It's very, very important to understand this. Krishna only becomes fully manifested in all his inner moods, in all his personality, together with Radha. It's almost like you cannot have the full moon without the night. Alright? So in the same way, you cannot have Krishna without Srimati Radharani. It's not possible. Krishna is not at home with anyone or is not pleased by anyone so much as he's pleased with Krishna, therefore with Radha. And therefore Krishna's full personality and all his qualities will only show in the presence of Radha. Just like someone who loves someone will only be able to manifest all the qualities which are inside in the presence of the beloved. It's not possible otherwise. You know, the moon has different phases. Now I think it's waning moon. That means it will become slimmer, 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 slimmer. And in the midst of Kartik month, there will be no moon visible. And then slowly it will grow again and take on the full size. No? So Krishna's waning, so to say, is only a little bit present in his qualities when he is with Lakshmi as Narayan. But all his qualities come out when he is as Krishna. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says there are these four qualities of Krishna which only in Krishna become visible. Oh, sorry. Not in anyone else. Therefore, this month of Kartik is so important because we are allowed really to fully take shelter in Srimati Radharani, and this will endear us very much to Krishna, who will show more of his qualities and more of his personality in this to the devotee who is a Radha Bhakta. Do you understand? Is it clear that only a Radha Bhakta will have the highest revelation of Krishna consciousness? Non-Radha Bhakta will have only, you know, part of Krishna, like the moon, which is only partly manifested in the outside of the full moon night. So, O Sri Radha, you keep Krishna transfixed like a deer in the glowing moon of your heart. Do you know, after Radha had seen Krishna once, she always wanted to see him again. And one time, Lalita, who understood the loving yearning of her beloved girl companion, mistress, Radha, was seeing Krishna through one window as Krishna was coming, passing by for cow herding. So the moment Radha, Lalita saw, here is Krishna, she was very nicely described. She went to Radharani and said, "The person for whom you are yearning so much is passing by the window. Come quickly and look." So Radha came to this It's called a latticed window, you know, which has big, you know. Radha ran to this window and saw Krishna, who was ready for his pastimes in the forest. He had this beautiful golden dhoti. He had a top knot like this and a peacock feather inside. Looks extremely attractive. And he had dressed himself with, you know, these branches of trees which had little buds, you know, like little dots. Looked a little bit. I do remember for Radha Madan Mohan, we sometimes take these, Siamala, maybe you remember the name, this it's like this thing, and then there are these, almost these white dots. You know what it is, but the name is, we sometimes have this. So Krishna looked so nice with these buds, you know, and sprigs, and he had some lily flowers over the ear. Amazing. And he was smiling. Radha saw this. She looked, and she threw only one glance, and Krishna looked through the latticed window, which is difficult, but he did it. Narada lost her consciousness because she was always so much absorbed in Krishna. Then Lalita went the next morning and searched for Krishna, thinking, I mean, the two must come together. That's the duty of the gopis they bring, especially the manjaris. And she searched all over for Krishna, but couldn't find him. Finally, she went to the Yamuna, and there in a kunja, at the bank of the Yamuna, she saw Krishna all alone. And do you know what Krishna did? He was thinking of Radha, like this verse, they meditate upon each other. Oh, when can we enter this stream of the meditation of the divine kapha? When can we bring our minds from this world and enter to this meditation of Radha and Krishna? Would be so good. This morning the monkeys came, and I could understand these other thoughts of most of you. Jump. We are not talking now about monkeys, but we're talking about thoughts, yeah? So the thoughts are jumping on things and shaking the things and not letting go of the things. One monkey spent half an hour with the best of my shoes, which Rangadevi had repaired last year by a shoewaller. You know, that shoewaller had repaired it. This is how our minds are. They spend time with mushy things, which are unnecessary things. Oh, couldn't we become like that? Couldn't we start to think of Radha and Krishna? Yeah. I will now read a little bit about Krishna to help you think of Krishna, to help myself think of Krishna, to help hello all of you on the internet. You should be with us now. Why listen to the internet? This is much better, to be in a little room in Radhakund with the sneezing devotees, and the heat is much better. So listen about Krishna's cows. This is all about attachment to Krishna. This is what we discuss. Although these cows are very hungry, these cows will not set one foot into the forest without Krishna, the destroyer of his friends' miseries. But now they began to call him, mooing, moo. So Achyuta carefully stopped his parents from following him any further by telling them, look how the cows, we need to take care of the cows, we can't just stay here, please allow me to go. And then Krishna began to blissfully mark the forest dust with the signs of the disc, the lotus, from his foot soles. This is a nice way to describe how Krishna walks. He marks the forest. While he went into the forest, Hari thought about one thing. Would you like to know the thoughts of Krishna? Though, he thought, those who love me feel pain when I leave. So, let me take their minds with me. And he did so. But the Vrajavasi's eyes also thought, what other objects do we have but Krishna? So they also followed him. The eye, so not only the minds, but they look. And the eyes follow him. In this way, the Brajavasis physically entered their homes like liberated souls that maintain their bodies only as an external custom. Have you seen liberated souls? They don't want to shower and eat and do all these things because their minds is already gone, but they do it out of habit because they must do it. So in the same way, the Brajavasis, they entered their homes like blind people, their eyes had gone to Krishna, and like mentally deranged people, because their mind had followed with Krishna. And they only did their so-called duties as a matter of duty. Thus ends the 7th chapter of Srila Vishwana Chakravarti's Krishna Bhavanamrita, describing how Krishna goes out into the meadows, that is the place where the cows graze in the morning. There is a summary. When the moon from the ocean of loveliness, Sri Krishna, collected his cows and went into the meadows, the heartache of the Brajavasis became indescribable. The girls of Braja were unable to control their senses without Krishna, so they took shelter of their friend, swoon, and were as if in a sleeping condition for a long time. When things become intolerable, we go to our friend and talk, isn't it? That's usually we do. Sometimes we don't say the best things, but we need to take shelter of a friend when things become intolerable. So the gopis took shelter of their friend called Swoon. Oop. and they were as if in a sleeping condition for a long time. This swoon helped all the beautiful gopis in times of distress as a friend, pervading their homes like a yogini to soothe their heartache of separation from Krishna. The Sakis repeatedly told this friend, Mukcha, Mukcha means swoon, O inauspicious one, are you embracing our dear friend? aren't you afraid of us? Quickly leave our friend Brishabhanu Nandini alone. So they, it seems Radha is the first one who goes out, and then the gopis chastise. Oh, Mulcha, you are so inauspicious. Who can describe the ways of love? Tell me. Although Murcha pacified Sri Radhika's mind from her severe affliction, still her sakis resented her and brought Radhika into the abode of suffering called external consciousness. This is for the gopis, and Krishna is gone, the abode of suffering, external consciousness. I sometimes think in my mind, as I'm growing older in my spiritual life, I so much want come to the level where I can always think of Krishna. And you know, this chanting helps me very, very much in doing this. As I chant the whole day, I'm really thinking of Krishna all the day, because when you chant so much, you begin to see Krishna. It's not seeing, but you know, your mind hears so much the holy name, and then it starts something which is called in psychology to associate the let me make an example. Rangadevi and Syamala and I just got a very mystical intuition. I forgot your name, and another name came in my mind, but I won't tell it. I will remember it. So when we chant Krishna's name so often, we also think of Krishna and Krishna's activities. This is how the chanting brings us to remember a person. Today also, I saw some devotees cleaning the content. I think you can feel how all of a sudden you develop a relationship to the Holy Dharma when you do such a menial servant, and you're no longer a stranger. You somehow begin to connect with the Dharma by doing such service. It's amazing, isn't it? That's why the devotees always do some menial service to the Dharma, because then they are connected. Krishna.